take projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. Here live from New Orleans, Louisiana. Nice. Down here working the Jazz Fest. How's your week been, man?
Pretty good. Kind of busy. How's yours been?
About the same. We got down here Tuesday and went right to work. It's working out nice. At the fairgrounds with all the damn flies. They're real bad this year, but it's good. Little housekeeping for our listeners before we get started here. We were going a little hiatus after today's episode. Just with scheduling, won't be able to record until maybe Mother's Day, if we're both free. If not, it'll be the week after that. But yeah, so there'll be about a month hiatus for us after this episode. Give us a chance to build up some things to talk about. In between that, we'll have at least the first two rounds of the NBA playoffs completed and NFL draft. We'll be almost a couple months into baseball season by then, so we should have a good episode by then. But that's the future. This is now. We'll kick off this week with said.
You guys don't miss us too much.
Yes, you guys will miss. I know. Don't cry. Don't be sad. But yeah, NBA playoffs officially started yesterday. Of course, the play-in was earlier this week. So yeah, let's see. We'll get the early reactions. What do you think about the play-in tournament, first of all, Greg?
Well, I mean, we got what, Lakers-Minnesota game was, you know, pretty good game there. Of course, it would have been better had, had there not been that suspension. That was a pretty good game. Let's see, you know, the Heat's first game was pretty good there. But, you know, I like it. I mean, it's pretty entertaining, for the most part. I guess it gives you the NCAA tournament feel, one and done type situation for the first games. But, you know, it kind of sucks when you're that seventh and eighth, and I think we said that before. When you're that seventh and eighth, you've kind of already earned the spot there, and you may not make it. Of course, you still get, you know, two shots at it, but, you know, you're still in that one and done feel. But, you know, I thought for the most part it was pretty entertaining there.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Like you said, it always sucks. You know, especially like a team like Minnesota, even though they did eventually earn their way in. You know, they won that eighth seed on the last day of the season, you know, beating the Pelicans, even with Rudy Gobert punching a teammate and who was it, Jaden McDaniel, whoever broke his hand punching the wall, which your friendly reminder here from Taking On Sports, never punch walls. The wall always wins, unless you're the Hulk.
Always.
But yeah, it always wins.
All right.
But yeah, like you said, it does add a bit of fun, you know, excitement to it. Gives you a reason not to, you know, tank, to really try hard. You know, we'll get to that with the Mavericks here in a second. But yeah, it's a double-edged sword. It's a real fun watch. It's intense games. But yeah, it's a little unfair to the teams that finish seventh and eighth, especially if you finish. I mean, like the Heat, they finished three games ahead, and you know they lost that first game to the Hawks, and they had to make that big comeback to beat the Bulls, and they could have. You know, been a team that's, you know, six games over 500 and missed the playoffs where the Bulls were two under 500 made it, you know. But they got their way in, and then, you know, over in the West, it was a 7-8 as they finished anyway. So, but yeah. That's just the way I think sports are going in America right now. Is they're always going to expand the playoffs and look for, you know, just more revenue from these games, from TV contracts and ticket sales and all that. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if the NBA adds a couple teams through expansion that they increase the playoffs even somehow. But we'll see. It was fun. You know, shitty way for the Pel season to end, but we'll get to that in a second. Let's talk first round here, the playoffs. We'll go through the matchups real quick, talk about yesterday's games, maybe make some early round predictions. Of course, over in the East, we have the one seed Bucks. They'll play the Heat. They did start. They'll start later today. Two seed Hawks. They won game one pretty easily over the seventh seed Hawks. Or excuse me, Celtics beat the Hawks. The three seed Sixers, really another one, kind of pulled away from the six seed Nets. And then the five seed Knicks kind of put a little bit of an upset in game one over the Cavs there in Cleveland. Over in the West, most of them starting today. Got one seed Nuggets with eight seed Timberwolves later tonight. Right now, just tipped off, the two seed Grizzlies hosting the seven seed Lakers. The Kings, the three seed, got their first playoff win in 18 years, beating the Warriors in a really good game yesterday. And then that 4-5 matchup, the Suns and Clippers, they'll play later tonight. And some big breaking news right before we started recording here. Paul George is officially out for this series. So that'll that'll lead into our predictions segment. That's a series that everyone was pretty much heavily favoring the Suns already. So that's more bad news for the Clippers there. But give me some first round predictions. What you think here, Greg? Just go through each of these series. Tell me who you like in every one.
Let's start. Yeah, go see. We'll start in the West there. 1-8. I think. Denver will win. I think five or six games against the Timberwolves. 2-7. The game on now. Lakers. Grizzlies. I think. Memphis in seven. Let's see. The 3-6.
3-6 Kings and Warriors.
Kings, Warriors. You know, it's a tough one. Because, the Kings, they, of course, got their first win last night. And, Rockets atmosphere, it's good for them to get that win. I know that crowd's been hungry. It's been so long since they've been in the playoffs. I mean, they went from a perennial team you saw all the time, back in the day. But, I don't know. It's just hard to go against the Warriors. I think Warriors in seven. And then Phoenix in five or six there. I think they would win before, but without Paul George, might be the most important player on the I just don't see the Clippers. They might give them might be some entertaining games, but I just don't think that they have enough to keep with the Suns, a healthy Suns team there. And when KD's played, that Suns team's been dynamic. So.
Yeah, I'll cut in here before we get to the East. I think I pretty much agree there. So you went Denver, Phoenix, Golden State, Memphis?
Yep.
Yeah, I agree there. I'm with you. I think Denver is just too talented for Minnesota. Same what you said about Phoenix, especially with the Paul George news now, and KD. I mean, they didn't lose a game with KD, did they? Or maybe one. Right. But
They went. I think they went 7-0 or 7-1, something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. Agree with the Kings. The Kings probably got the best shot of any of these teams we're not picking. Of course, now that we, as usual, are taking on sports predictions, now that means Minnesota's going to pull an upset and all that. But. the Kings, they got a great offense. It's just that defense. I could easily see, something like, even if like maybe the Kings take the first two here in Sacramento, then Golden State might get hot at home and just ride that. And then the Lakers, I know a lot of people were kind of picking them to make a finals run, but I still just don't see them holding up. They played that good game against Minnesota, made a couple clutch plays, but they also, Anthony Davis made that dumb foul. LeBron looked a little tired toward the end of that game, made a lazy pass on the inbounds in overtime that Minnesota could have tied it up on. And I think I think the Grizzlies with that home court, they're tough at home, and they're a really exciting, young, athletic team that can kind of wear out the Lakers. So, I agree with you on all those, but – let's move to the East now. Milwaukee, Miami, who you got?
Milwaukee, Miami, you know what? The Heat, they're a talented team. I mean, that's a tricky eight team because, you know, there's a lot of talent there and they can very well be a much better seeded team. But, the Bucks, I think, win in six. How about you?
Bucks in six. I like that. I might even take them sooner than that, maybe five, maybe even a sweep. A lot of the Bucks success this postseason, too, if Chris Middleton can get healthy. That's such a huge part for them, but it also depends, you know, if like Drew Holiday is more consistent on the offensive end. They're just so good defensively with Giannis and Brooks Lopez and Drew Holiday. That's such a tough team. And for a team like Miami that has these periods where they struggle offensively, it's just hard to see them pulling out a seven game upset. That 4-5 matchup.
Sure, yeah. It's hard to beat the Bucks four times.
Yeah, it really is hard to beat the Bucks four times in such a short span. At 4-5 matchup, as we said, the Knicks got game one in Cleveland yesterday. So who you got there?
You know, that's a series. I think that might be one of the best first round series we have. You know, a lot of talent there. You know, the Knicks have come a long way. Didn't have a lot of expectations coming into the season there. Cleveland kind of went all in there with Adam Spider there, and really, you know, they've have a good dynamic going. First time since '98 that they made the playoffs without LeBron, so you know that's something there. But you know, the Knicks looked really good yesterday. Rockets atmosphere in Cleveland got the win, but I think this is going to distance. But I'm gonna say Cleveland in seven. I think Cleveland gets it done there.
Oh, here's where we disagree. Actually, I think the Knicks pull it out. Cleveland's a really talented team, really good defensively, but something about just the way that kind of Knicks attitude. You know, it's not quite those '90s Knicks yet. Will be, man. That was a different team, but But, you know, especially Brunson, especially if you get contributions like Obi Toppin and Josh Hart gave them yesterday, that's was a big side, like little side additional pieces to Brunson and Randall, the way they play. Yeah. So I actually think I think I can go the other way. I'll take the Knicks in like seven. I think that's my Eastern Conference upset, if you will. No, 4-5, you know, it's tough. But, Philly and Brooklyn, the 3-6. Philly took game one yesterday. What you think about it?
Yeah, I'd see Philly winning pretty easily. Sweep maybe five at the most there. I don't see this being that much of a series there. But yeah, I think, you know, Philly just handles business. How about you?
I tend to agree. Yeah. And Embiid's my MVP pick too. Just the way he played this year, I think he carries them, and I just don't see that Brooklyn team putting up much of a fight against them. Last would be Boston, Atlanta, the 2-7. As we said, the Celtics took game one yesterday. So how do you think the rest of it goes?
You know, that's one of the same thing. I'm going to say Celtics in a sweep there. I just don't think the Hawks definitely don't play good enough defense for Boston. Trey might get some numbers, but yeah, I don't see it being much of a series.
Agreed. And Trey's a little too inconsistent too sometimes with his numbers. And he's never really taken that next step in his game to really just take over a whole series like this. You know, we know he had that big one a couple years ago against New York, kind of stepped into that villain role, but I don't know. All the talk about the as talented as and young as these Hawks teams are, they haven't been able to take that next step. Maybe Quinn Snyder's the man that can coach them there, but I don't think it's this year.
The Celtics team.
And the Celtics team, they're too good on defense. They're just too good on defense. You know, even with Jaylen Brown and a mask and a cut finger, you know, cutting himself, watering his plants. That's a new one. I've heard a lot of weird sports injuries, but that's a new one. That's a Hall of Fame one, man. Like, we got some Hall of Fame. Usually it's baseball players that have those weird ones, you know, like guys throwing out their back when they sneeze or something like that. But
sneeze, yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one, man. But yeah, so like it should be a pretty good first round, you know. I think we had a couple of, you know, quick ones in there, like Milwaukee and Philly, but should be pretty entertaining overall. Do you have any early picks on who you think will be in the finals, win the finals?
Win the finals. You know, I think if they stay healthy, I think I'm gonna go Phoenix Milwaukee for the finals.
I'm pretty sure that was my pick too in that little NBA bracket challenge. If I look at it here, I'm gonna check that out now. So I'm pretty sure I had the Bucks over the Suns. Just when the Bucks are all there, I just think they're too talented for everyone. You know, you kind of want to see a player like Chris Paul get there. Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly what I have. The Bucks over Phoenix. But yeah, that's my early inclination. Like I said, especially if they get Chris Middleton back and, you know, and he can be at least, you know, 70-80% for them. That's a huge addition to their roster. And you wonder if at any point with like Phoenix team, as good as they are, if that lack of playing time together for that roster so far might hurt them against a team more experienced playing with each other. Maybe not, you know, but it is something. Mentioned earlier, talking about the way the season ended. You have any final thoughts, parting shots for the way the Mavericks, your Mavericks season ended, or where you'd like to see them go this offseason?
Well, you know, I mean, the last game I'm not mad about. I ended, you know, the two were against Chicago, the second to last game when they sat everybody and, well, Luka played the first quarter. I mean, I understand at that point because I'm trying to say that 10th pick. Or we'll stay in the top 10 because if you don't, then of course you lose the. And I mean, more than likely, we weren't going to make the playoffs anyway. Because even if we had won that game, we still had to beat San Antonio. And in the, what was it, the Thunder had to lose to get in that 10th spot. So I'm not mad at that. I'm just mad that, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't have been in the playoffs. To begin with, like, we shouldn't even got to that point that we're in that situation, you know. And honestly, I was wrong. I thought Kyrie and Luka would have been a little better together. They didn't play a lot of games together. They missed some, you know, but you know, just not near enough defense, I guess. And then I also don't understand. I guess my biggest gripe at the end of the season was just Jason Kidd always going with Powell. I don't know why he liked Powell so much, but that was his guy. You know, there's a lot of people saying that Jason Kidd needs to go, because through his history, you know, the longer he stays, the worse it gets in locations. So we'll see. I would like, hopefully, you know, we'll get some good luck with the lottery. And then, you know, I'd like to see Kyrie there another year just to run it back, you know, a full season together. I would like to see that. I know the chances probably aren't the best, and I know there's always that he's going to the Lakers thing, but I think they're going to try to do everything they can to bring him back. I would like to see a whole season with that just to see, you know, give it a go one more time for Luka and Kyrie, but we'll see how all that plays out. But I guess just the overall second half of the season just kind of disappointing more than anything, because we shouldn't even been in that type of situation.
for sure. I mean, what do you think? Is there any particular reason you think that it didn't work out, that it went so wrong toward the end there? Did they just trade the wrong? Did they give up too much for Kyrie? You know, was giving away, you know, not re-signing Brunson a mistake? Like, is there something they're missing?
Yeah, I mean, that's I mean, I think, you know, not re-signing Brunson is definitely the biggest component of it. Because he's in the, you know, we see where he is with the Knicks at this point. And I think the biggest thing is 2 years ago, we had the option to re-sign him, but they weren't sold on him. And then, you know, last year after the big playoff series, playoff wins there, pretty much beating Utah by himself, and then because like Luka was out, and then the rest of the playoff, you know, then the money was big, and you know, I think Dallas felt that they could kind of do it without him, and I think we kind of underestimated the whole situation. So that'd be my biggest gripe is we should have got held on to Jalen earlier, and we kind of were behind the eight ball, kind of got involved too late or showed interest there. So.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, if that lottery pick gets, you get lucky and jump a few spots, you know, that could be a real big boost. Either, you know, selecting a young guy or even using it as trade bait or something, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, you said, you know, you mentioned disappointing into the season, and I know how that feels as a Pels fan, man. Went from, you know, top seed in the West at one point, then Zion pulls a hamstring injury. You think, okay, maybe he'll miss a couple weeks, maybe a month. And then we didn't see Zion again for the rest of the year. Pulled his hamstring again, you know, injured it on January 2nd, and then did not play another game. Of course, was seen, you know, dunking the ball warm-ups before that playing game, but, you know, they said he wasn't cleared for a 5-on-5, like full contact activity. So it's just, it's one of those perplexing things, man. Is he, you know, is it just, is everybody kind of, the naysayers kind of right, where his body's just not made for the full NBA grind? Do they have to, you know, load manage him better, you know, limit him to maybe 60 some games a year and rest him periodically? Or is he just doomed to, you know, have these types of one of these injuries every year? Or maybe is it like a Embiid situation? You know, we forget Embiid missed what, his whole first two seasons, you know, before he really got going. Yeah. Now he's a MVP finalist. And Zion was playing at an MVP level before he got hurt. I mean, he was leading that team. And
yeah, it was.
And the scary part is they had only played, the big three had only played like 180 minutes together at that point. You know, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion. So that's the tough part for, you know, the Pelicans. If you're the front office, if you're the fan base, is you've seen the potential and you just want it to have a full, you know, a full season's chance before you make a big drastic move. You know, I don't think you can trade Zion at this point. Obviously, I think that window went away. You wanted to do that before his extension. But there were some promising things. You saw the emergence of Trey Murphy, who really got aggressive and started scoring in bunches toward the, you know, especially the last couple of weeks of the season. You know, Brandon Ingram, once he got fully healthy, you know, showed he is a superstar in this league. He's a guy that can carry an offense. Mm-hmm. You know, you got one guys like, they really figured out how to use Jonas and down low in the center, get him more a part of that offense. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is now next year, if you have a healthy Zion, what's your starting five between CJ? You know, do you drop Trey back down to a six-man role, or did he earn a starting spot? Is Herb Jones a guy you drop because he's a, you know, he's an all-NBA defender seemingly, but his offense is too inconsistent? I mean, he had a couple of big games toward the end of the year too, but you know, he's a guy, if you get, if he can get a consistent 3-point shot, do you trade Jonas, try to go smaller? You know, it's interesting all season for the Pelicans, and they'll have a lottery pick too. But yeah, I can see it was a disappointing year, just the way things went and how far they fell off after that Zion injury for a little while before they regrouped, you know, because they were in such a well position even without him. At least, I mean, they had a chance, even on the last day, they still had a chance if things fell right to get into one of that five or six seed. But yeah, that's it's just one of those tough what ifs. And, you know, even for neutral, you want to see Zion succeed, I think, just because he's so special. But, it's just
talented it's guy. Not... You just want to.
Yeah, you just want to see him
get to that point where he could play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want him to be like a Greg Oden situation where, you know, he just never is able to get his career going. Right.
You know, that's the thing, because, you know, when it comes, you know, and then everybody's going to call him a bust. But if he was more injury prone and more so than his talent, then, you know, he falls in that gray category. Is he really a bust or is he just unlucky? Because, you know, I consider a bust someone that just doesn't, that plays but doesn't ever turn into anything compared to someone who couldn't get healthy. But, you know, hopefully they figure it out, or, you know, whether it be his mental, whether it be his diet, whether, you know, whatever, or, you know, them finding a way to, you know, keep him healthy, whether it be load management or, you know, different things that the training staff needs to do with him to figure out what works to where he can play entire season, and most importantly, the second half of the season when they're going to need him the most.
Yeah. But yeah, so disappointing end for our teams specifically, but
Yeah,
it's fun to watch the playoffs as a neutral too. Right. You know, and I did it for years. You know, I never really got back into the NBA until a few years ago, and, you know, hooked on with the Pelicans while living in New Orleans, and, you know, have fun from there. So, we shall see. You know, we'll see if, you know, Giannis and the Bucks can win it again. We'll see if maybe Chris Paul can get his first, if LeBron can add another, if the process pays off in Philly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's some good storylines going. But that should be it, unless you have any other NBA thoughts.
No, I think, you know, for the most part, we, like I said, we're just in for some, you know, good playoffs, a lot of good storylines, a lot of good possible matchups, and, you know, I think it's going to be a fun time through now through June.
All right, then we'll move on. Yeah, I guess nothing. I don't really want to touch on anything from basketball. UConn or your champs. I think we both, you know, knew that was going to happen. You know, San Diego State, valiant run, but UConn just was too talented and too hot at the right time.
They got hot at the right time. Ran through the tournament.
Yeah, just really not a close game for them at all.
No.
On the Alabama side of things, you know, we're still looking to see, you know, a lot of guys have declared, a lot of guys have put in transfer portal, but you never know who's actually going to, you know, go and then come back, who they might pull in as a transfer.
That's going to be, you know, interesting. It's just who we're going to, if we're going to pull anybody from that transfer portal, and then, you know, filling out the rest of the coaching staff more than anything, because I think our biggest thing with the coaching staff is, you know, losing Antoine Pettway. I'm happy for him that he's getting his head coaching opportunity there. But, man, I think he was key to a lot of our recruiting there, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, they did get actual little connection here. They got a Pelicans assistant. To join their staff, you know, kind of unprecedented offseason for Alabama basketball. They lost all three assistant coaches, which is just not a thing that happens in basketball a lot. But Ryan Pinone, however you pronounce his name, he was the G League coach for the Pelicans in the Birmingham squad. Played a similar style of offense, kind of wide open, big heavy on the threes. Had coached all over, kind of coached in stops in Israel, Germany, you know, in Asia. Been a JUCO and high school coach in the U.S. So he's kind of been all over the place. But, yeah, as you mentioned, we all three head coaches for Alabama, you know, Brian Hodgson went to Arkansas State, Charlie Henry to Georgia Southern, and Pettway to Kennesaw for head coaches. So good for congratulations to all them. But we'll see how Nate Oates fills out his staff. We'll see who comes back. You know,
because I would have to think. Well, I personally, I think Sears and Bediako and JQ all come back. That's just my thought, but we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Sears probably needs, you know, he's got, I think, 2 years left of eligibility. Probably needs some more seasoning in the college game, especially in a leadership role. before he gets drafted. But Iako definitely has potential. I could see him as maybe a second round pick. But you definitely would love to see him back in the middle for the Tide. JQ, who knows? You know, a lot of Bama fans would probably be upset if he came back, but that's senior leadership. And when he plays at his best, man, he's really good. And really important to the team. You would love a scenario where Noah Clowney somehow decides to stay, but I just keep seeing his name as a lottery pick. Tough to turn that down.
I think he's gone. unless something crazy happens, I think he's gone.
Yeah, you see, Jaden Bradley, of course, is in the portal. We don't, you know, maybe he just needs a change of scenery. But early projections on Alabama, way too early. Bracketology by Lunardi had Alabama's a 2 seed next year. And then in like a too early top 25. Let's see, I think I saw us a little further down there, 11th. Yeah.
11.
Thanks. I've seen him in that. And then, you know, one projected starting lineup here for them is Bradley, Sears, the transfer Walton from Wichita State, Riley Griffin, and Bidiaco. So, you know, it's just big on who's coming back.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. Too early for that.
All right. We'll move. A lot of moving parts there.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of sliding doors, a lot of moving parts of that. Baseball, Major League Baseball has gotten started, you know, a couple weeks ago, gotten going. You know, right now, you know, good starts for, let's see here, looking at standards, I had them pulled up right now. Of course, the Rays had that, 10-0 start. They're 13-2, best record in the bigs right now. Braves are hot over there in the National League. They're just, that lineup looks as good as everyone thought it could be. Just mashing runs right now. Yeah. I believe they lead the league in runs, or at least now the Rays still actually. The Rays have scored 100 runs already in 15 games. But yeah, it's been a hot start to the season so far. You know, a couple pitching injuries as usual, but no big games lost with the pitch clock yet. That seems to be, though, everybody early returns on that. Everyone seems to be enjoying it. Games are kind of flowing, moving right along.
Yeah.
Stolen bases are up. That's always fun. You know, we're not quite at the 80s level yet. We're probably not going to get people stealing 100 bases. But
not going to get that Ricky
Henderson. Yeah, we're not going to not get those Ricky Henderson days, man. It's just crazy to think about that, though. I mean, that's a lot of stolen bases. It looks like, you know, kind of that the fix to the shift is, you know, allowing for more hits, too. It's kind of making a more entertaining game so far early this year.
A lot of high-scoring games.
Yeah, a lot more runs so far.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like it. Stolen bases are fun. They should be a bigger part of the game, you know. That's more strategy.
Sure.
Especially with, you know, pitchers only allowed two pickoffs, you know, per at bat. You know, if you do it, I haven't seen it personally yet, watch any games, but be interested if just a pitcher out of, you know, habit, like throws a couple quick pickoffs, you know, in like early in the count, and then realizes, oh man, and then you got that runner's basically just like, all right, sweet, free base. You can probably see the veterans that are, you know, the older guys that are tougher adjusting to everything, but, but it's, I think fun so far. Anything to say about, you know, your team or anything in general?
Well, you know, the Yankees, they've up and down a little bit. I know they gave up that 9 spot on Friday night, but, most part, things are kind of are where they are. Had some good games, but you know, kind of in that middle ground there. But you know, it's just such a long season that you know you can't really overreact, or you know, at this point of the year, I guess it's just a matter of you know, both our teams, your team, my team, it's not so much making the playoffs. It's where you go in the playoffs, as we know. So, you know, kind of a long way till we kind of know what, you know, the success of the season. And, you know, I think both franchise pretty much, you know, not to the World Series, it's kind of a disappointing season. So.
Yeah, for sure. I know up there in the Bronx, Garrett Cole's just looking just as good as ever up there.
He's been nasty. Yeah, he's been nasty. Yeah. I mean, living up to the hype, and that's always the thing. You know, a lot of people come to New York as look good coming into it and just haven't made it in New York for one reason or another. But he's is, you know, last year at times you're like, maybe, but you know, he's really seems to you know, have it down. So yeah. It's a matter of everybody else, the pitchers around them, and you know, staying consistent with the hitting.
Yeah, for sure. Now, as you mentioned, it's a long season. You know, can't really judge anything, any predictions based on what we've seen so far. You know, we talked about the Braves last year, 10 and a half out in what, June, July, something like that, and came back and won the division. The Phillies kind of thought to be dead at some point. They came back, nearly won the whole thing. So, like we said, so far the returns are good on the new rules. Everything's making it look fun out there. Yeah. Let's see. Elsewhere in the sports world, kind of going back to NBA, fun little, not for him maybe, but E-40, you know, Bay Area rap legend, got thrown out of the Warriors Kings game yesterday. And he is mad about it.
Yeah.
So interesting to see what goes there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you were just talking trash with the fans, and I don't know. I guess they thought it was a little. I guess they didn't like how it looked with E-40, and they took him out the game for whatever that's worth. But I did see that. But man, big Warriors fan there, so we'll see. See if he's back in Sacramento and all for the rest of the series.
Yeah. See if he goes back to Sacramento or if he maybe gets a special courtside seat and once they're back in the Bay. They play that up.
He'll be courtside in the Bay.
For sure. Of course, you know, still nothing NFL news. You know, Ravens got Odell Beckham. Good pickup, you know. I can't even remember if we talked about that last time or not. I don't think it happened that it had happened yet, but
I don't think it has happened quite.
No. I don't think anybody thinks they're getting, you know, 2015 of OBJ or whatever, but it's a solid pickup for a team that needs, you know, some good receivers. And if it's something that helps Lamar decide to stay, then that's your big thing and it's worth the money.
Yeah. Exactly.
I saw one rumor that said, of course, you know, never know how much truth to take out of them, but it said basically Lamar's demands were that they get OBJ and trade for DeAndre Hopkins, which as great as that would be, I don't know if they got who they could quite handle that. But we'll see.
A lot of money.
Yeah, a lot of money. Yeah. Have to give up a lot of stuff there. And that's kind of it. You know, NFL, we're still in that holding pattern, waiting on the draft. You know, like we said, baseball is too early in the season. Neither of us really watch the NHL to really be able to talk about that too much. You know, I'll put.
Yeah, not too great. You know, I claim to be a Stars fan. I watch some of the, you know, playoffs, but yeah, I can sit there and tell you. You know, I guess I'm more of a playoff and highlight type of guy more than anything. Yeah, I can't claim to be an expert.
Yeah, sure. Same way. I grew up a Penguins fan. You know, the person that got me into hockey was from Western PA and was a big Lemieux and Yager fan growing up. And then just that when they locked him out and missed the whole season, canceled the Stanley Cup, that was kind of it for me. No, just the NHL. Gary Bettman's an awful commissioner. But I still love the game of hockey. You know, I grew up playing hockey, so I love to check out. Like you said, I watch playoffs for sure. I'll catch a playoff game every now and again. It's fun, you know, and it's not a lot like NHL playoff hockey.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to make any predictions. I couldn't tell you anything about who's the best team or what going on now.
Right.
You know, elsewhere, let's see. You know, things heating up in the Premier League.
Going on.
Yeah. The what? Spring games. Yeah, a lot of spring games and college football going on.
A lot of spring games. And that's another thing. You kind of just take it with a grain of salt because spring games are spring games. It's just a glorified practice. But, you know, a lot is taken away from it. But we know a lot of everything comes in the summer and the fall camp more than anything. So.
yeah, it appears that you know, Sark has said that Quinn Ewers will be the Texas starting quarterback right now. We'll see if that holds up again through, you know, summer practice and all that.
Yeah.
Transfer portal is open right now.
Yeah, that'll be big because that transfer portal, boy, that changes a few teams really quickly depending on who they get. I know one of the Georgia defensive linemen just was going into the portal. I heard he might be going to USC, but, you know, that's open. But, yeah, transfer portal for some teams. You get a few pieces and really changes your whole lineup. I know Florida State's done a lot in the transfer portal. But
yeah, that was Bear at. Alexander, the guy you're thinking of.
Yeah, Bear. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, like you said, that's you know, where teams at this point of the year, they can kind of add, you know, maybe just a little missing pieces to try to plug holes, especially after spring practice. You see maybe what, if you have any freshmen that enrolled early, see if they're, you know, going to be good enough. But even then, you know, you really don't know things until after your August practice and even then until the first couple of games of the season.
No. Exactly. It's just, yes.
But yeah, you know, we'll A-Day
have all the next Saturday.
Yeah, next Saturday. So we'll know more then. What do you think about, you know, this report? You know, who was it? Hugh Freeze, and some people have come out saying that they should play more official scrimmages in the spring, like Alabama should play Troy or UAB or something. Is that something you'd buy into? Or?
I mean, I think it'd be cool, but I don't ever see it happening. So I'm not going to, you know, ever, you know. But, you know, I think the fans would enjoy that. You know, you're playing a UAB or a Troy, you know. I think that would really – but, I mean, I don't know how much that – whatever come to be, or how much that helps or not, I don't know. But I think that'd be a bit cool for the fans. But, you know, I just don't see enough people agreeing on that to ever turn into a real thing there.
yeah, and I saw someone make a good point on Twitter too that it's great in theory and it could be, you know, real fun for the fans especially, but at what point, you know, the schools or somebody's going to try to make money off of it, and then all of a sudden you start charging for spring games, and that's where you mess up. Spring games, a lot of time for people that can't afford, you know, tickets to maybe a real game. They get down there, they get in the stadium. You can sit wherever you want, you know, as long as you know, first come, first serve. You can get yourself 50-yard line seats down in the little bowl. It's cool to see, you know, Tuscaloosa in the spring is a different beast than Tuscaloosa in the fall. You know, spring was always my favorite time of year in Tuscaloosa. Summer when the students were gone, but, it's just a slippery slope. I think it's just, you know, like all good things in life, eventually people start trying to make money off of them. So I think keep it as is.
Some schools already I can't, like, I know some schools charge like $10, $15 for the spring game. I know Alabama's never really charged for it, but you know, other schools charge like $10. I mean, that's not bad, but I was kind of shocked. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad, $10. But
yeah, you start getting other teams in there, then they're just going to treat it, you know, even if it's like, you know, I've seen some people say, oh, that's when the FCS game should be. And that's not a bad suggestion either. You know, if you make a rule that says you can't play lower division teams in a regular season. Maybe you scrimmage them. But again, that's still a slope that you want to charge money for it. And I just don't think you should. If you know, make all that money off the concessions. But
right. And then the other thing you look at, too, and it kind of may end up hurting the, you know, the little guy is, let's say, you know, the transfer portal's open. Somebody at UAB looks really good. Maybe, you know, someone comes to, hey, come to Alabama, come to Auburn. You know, they, you know, pull them after seeing them, you know, in that scrimmage situation. And, you know, they put up big numbers against the big guy. Hey, you know, someone's going to pull them. And then, you know, that's going to hurt, you know, mid-level team there.
Yeah, even that's a good FCS point. Team, yeah.
Another big player pulled them out. Pull them, hey, why wouldn't, you know, if you're the, you know, if, let's say a FCS quarterback, you know, he's a talented guy, but maybe didn't get a lot of offers. He comes in, he throws for 300 yards against Alabama or Auburn, and then, you know, a spring game situation. What's to stop them from being, hey, you want to come to Alabama, you want to come to Auburn, or, you know, other SEC teams play somebody? I mean, it's going to be hard for that FCS team to even keep a guy like that. So. That's another thing that they'd have to look at.
Yes, absolutely. Like, that's a great point. You know, a guy that, you know, like you said, got overlooked might want to show out even if it's just a spring game. And then next thing you know, the big schools are like, oh, you know what? Maybe we do like him and, you know, sneak in there and try to take him. And then, you know, also you got to think maybe guys that want to prove themselves against a bigger team, maybe they go a little hard or you go a little harder because it's not your own guys you're playing against and maybe there's more injuries. It's a good idea in theory. I just think in practice it could get had some more negative effects. You know, that's about all I have from in the world of sports. Nothing else I want to touch on. Anything you think we missed, want to touch on for a little bit?
I think for the most part we covered a lot there. You know, we're kind of in a holding pattern for the NFL and the draft and everything. And you know, and I think we covered pretty much everything there.
Absolutely. Like I said, we will be on hiatus for about a month or so. While I'm down here working for the New Orleans Jazz Fest, maybe if something huge happens, I don't know, we might try to hop on for a quick emergency episode, but, you know, that's time permitting, of course. Otherwise, maybe just might pop something up on the Take website. So in the meantime, you know, like I said, check out everything else, on the Alabama Take website, you know, all the podcasts we got going, Alabama Slam, Taking It Down. You know, This Song Sucks is in the new season. They got one per month going, all kinds of stuff. Writings on the website. Greg, where else can people find you if they want to hear something?
Well, I haven't been on a lot recently, but, you know, I do have my own podcast, Writing with Boz. Probably have some thoughts with the NFL draft coming up. Usually just pretty much can be found anywhere where you get your podcasts when I post them, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, pretty much generates all locations there. But Ryan with Boz is the name of the podcast.
All right, then. Of course, before we go, what's been done up real good for you?
Wow, done up real good for me. Yesterday my daughter was at the state championship, her junior high or middle school for the Science Olympiad. She got a personal medal in one of her competitions that she was part of, and her team was a couple points away from actually going to the nationals. But came in second in the entire state, so that was pretty cool.
Well, that is pretty cool, man. Raising a smart one there.
Yeah, how about you? Yeah, she's a little genius.
For me, just, you know, being back in New Orleans is always fun. We lived down here for, 7 years or so. It's always a good time seeing people we work with every year. You know, got the kid with us, got grandmas and friends coming down to help watch them while we're working. So, of course, you know, everyone, all of our New Orleans people excited to meet him. It's just always fun being back in the city for a little bit. You know, ask me again in a month when I've, you know, lost about 15 pounds through sweat alone. But yeah, but it's been good. But, yeah, so that's it. As I said before, thanks again for listening, folks. Another reminder, we'll be on hiatus for a little bit. So, follow us on Twitter, Taking On Sports. I'll try to, you know, sprout some opinions on there. Other than that, y'all take it easy, man.